Ivan, is it more important to do a deep dive interior before winter or after?
Hi, I'm Ivan.
I'm Nick.
This is DIY Detail, and it's time to get rid of winter.
This is the DIY Detail podcast, and this is the episode you've been waiting for.
Right. Spring is finally here.
It's probably snowing where you're watching this right now.
Yeah, it could be. I'm not a fan of winter unless, you know, it's in the Bahamas. But winter in the northern areas of the continent are not fun. Doing that spring cleaning, though, getting rid of winter is such a fun ritual in detailing. It's like, finally, it's over. I can put the winter tires away, put the summer tires on, get my summer wheels on there, and do a deep cleaning of my car, bring the shine back, put the windows down, and go for a drive.
Do we start on the inside or the outside?
Let's go inside first.
All right, so maybe you're somebody who lives in the area like I live in, Utah.
Right.
It's a good time to deal with the salt.
Right. And that salt ring that you have around your carpets. So if you're, you know, not too careful getting your shoes or feet in and out and you don't hit your feet together before putting them in the car and you have that snow, a lot of people have a salt ring just above their floor mats.
Yeah.
And that salt ring, a lot of people use really weird chemicals to get it off. And they try all sorts of different things. We have one thing in our line that works spectacularly for that. And that's All Clean.
Yeah, you love using All Clean.
For that, yes.
Sometimes the chunks of salt are so nasty though.
Yeah.
As a real life detailer, I can tell you this. Like,
oh yeah.
I've had to steam them extensively.
Right.
You're using like a pocket knife to try to like cut them out of the carpet.
Yeah.
And then you think you've won. And then when it dries, it wicks back all chalky. So there are different extremes of salt.
Right.
You may need to think outside the box with salt. It's about removing that chunk and then about what happens after it dries again. So if it wicks back chalky, then you have an issue. You might think you got it on the front end. Maybe it didn't come on the back end. So know that there are levels to this game, but I haven't explained how our all-purpose cleaner works.
Well, basically, the way I like to do it, spray it on 15 to 1. This is the only time I will tell you to use 15 to 1 on your interior. But 15 to 1, put it on that salt ring, and then start washing your exterior. Or if you're just doing the interior that day, start doing the dash and the seats and the door panel. Forget that it's there. The longer you can let it dwell, the better. Then those salt chunks will just almost vacuum away. But I like to do that and then take a stiff brush, get in there once it's sat for a while, work it so that stiff brush, once again, it's breaking down those chunks and it's getting it out. Then a microfiber towel. And just rub the microfiber towel to almost dry it. You want to have that carpet dry. Then you can inspect it.
Right.
You can see.
Yeah, if it's dry, then you know where you're at. It's
right.
Not, oh, I did it so well, and then it dries back and wicks up on you.
And if it takes you a long time to remove the salt, guess what? Next winter, you're going to be a little more careful. So you can avoid the salt altogether. And there's a couple ways of doing that. First of all, it's getting some mats that are, you know, the laser cut mats that fit in. There's a lot of different companies that make them and they go up the sides because the factory mats, they're not always the greatest at that. That is probably the best way of doing it. And during the winter, don't wait till the end of winter to get in there with a vacuum cleaner. And if you see that your carpets are really wet, if you have a shop vac or a wet dry vac, get in there and vacuum it up. That's going to help tremendously.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then apply some interior ceramic on there.
Yeah.
Before winter hits.
Yeah, we had
right?
someone...
Or after you'd clean your carpets as well.
Yeah, there was a comment in our Facebook group this week from Felix that said, amazingly, I put interior ceramic on my carpets in the fall and I have no salt ring. First time in his life that he hasn't had a salt ring in his car.
I love to hear the real world feedback on that.
Yeah.
So get your interior cleaned. Obviously, your rubber floor mats, that's a good time to clean. It's just a good time to deep clean your vehicle.
Right.
Right. What else on the inside, Ivan?
Well, summer is coming. You might be driving around with your windows down. So you want some UV protection. That UV protection comes in the form of interior clean and protect or the interior ceramic.
Both are great options.
Both are great options. But a lot of people think interior clean and protect is sort of a, it's going to clean a little bit. No, it is a great cleaner on interiors. And rinseless wash, also a great cleaner on interiors.
I actually prefer to do a nice deep clean of the inside.
Yep.
Lay down interior ceramic as my foundational layer, and then rely on interior clean and protect for maintenance. Because
exactly.
In my head, and I don't know the exact science and chemistry of it, Interior Clean and Protect is a much better cleaner than people give it credit for.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But I wouldn't completely lean on it for UV protection.
No, it's UV
That's
protection.
That's at least where I'm at.
Yeah, and it's very good anti-static protection as well. Now, one product that we have in our line, the Rinseless Wash, if you have a dirty carpet or a dirty seat, try it. You'll be surprised how well it works. Because Rinseless Wash encapsulates that dirt and takes it away. Sometimes all you need is a microfiber towel with a bit of Rinseless Wash on it. Scrub the seat with a microfiber towel. Go over it with a dry towel. You'll be surprised what you get out of that seat.
Okay. And don't forget about like the Bissell Spot Pro extractors out there.
Yeah.
The $100 to $150 extractors. Just a little bit of like extraction.
Yeah.
Where you're flushing a solution in there.
Right.
Whether it's hot water, just water, some kind of carpet cleaning solution.
Yeah.
It's like a low pH rinse product. At the end of a cleaning session, it's sucking and then putting that new solution in at the end to sort of neutralize the initial chemical.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go down that rabbit hole if you want me to, but
yeah.
It's not a bad option for people who don't want to go hire a professional, who don't want to buy, you know, a Mighty Light extractor.
Exactly.
You know, those are well north of $1,000.
Yeah.
It's something that it'll clean up urine in your house if you have a pet. So you'll get use out of this.
Oh, definitely.
Beyond just your vehicle.
Yeah.
Not a bad little investment.
No. Sometimes though on seats, be careful. A lot of seats these days have occupancy sensors, they have seat heaters, they have blowers in them, so too much moisture on the seat can be a bad thing.
Is this one of those where you should like read your owner's manual?
That is one of those things.
You know, the other day we were doing a cart building contest, which probably won't be out here at this time yet.
Yeah.
And instead of like, you know, because Ivan and Sylvia had their cart built in about 10 minutes, and an hour later I was still going in. But instead of, you know, like making fun of me or telling me that I was, you know, not doing it right, which I was taking so much longer that I figured that's what was going to happen, you were like, oh, you're reading the instructions. You need any help? And that was it.
Yeah.
Because you saw me reading the instructions, and in your head, I know how you think. You're like, oh, Nick's doing it the right way. You know,
yeah.
Like, I just didn't have all the tools. So I was trying to.
Yeah.
I'm also a little slower, but. I read the instructions.
Excellent.
The cart got built just fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Who
but
knew?
On your interior as well, get those windows clean. Change out your cabin filter. Most vehicles have cabin filters these days. Change it out. Get rid of that winter smell. Get in there.
Is that something that like is easy to do or you should pay a lot of money for at your oil change place?
Yeah, it's very easy to do. There's this thing called YouTube University. You're watching YouTube right now. If you're watching us on YouTube, if you're listening in the, you know, the podcast apps, well, you can go look on YouTube. But you put your model car, the year of the car, and cabin air filter, a plethora of videos will pop up. Or you can read your owner's manual.
Well, I met this lovely woman on the plane, Victoria, who asked me to ask you if we could do a couple of videos. Because I was like, you know, you're an average person out there, an enthusiast.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, tell me what you want. And she asked about oil changes and cabin air filters.
Yeah.
Oil changes, there's a lot of liability there. You probably.
And we're not set up for that.
We're not set up for that. That's not what we do. But would we encourage the DIYer to change their own cabin air filter?
Oh, yeah. It's actually in the owner's manual of most cars, how to change it. It's usually very, very simple. Now, when cabin air filters first started coming on the market, you needed wrenches and it was hidden in a, you know, obscure place in the car. But now they're purposely making them easy to get to.
So where would you go and get your cabin air filter?
Your local auto parts store.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will they do it for you or you got to
Some of them will actually do it for you. So
you may benefit from that.
Yeah, exactly.
Little loophole.
Right. But that being said, change your cabin air filter. Make sure your windows are spotless. It's beautiful looking out of clean windows. And all winter long, you've been cooped up in the car with the heat on and, you know, coats and things like that. And it's nice to smell that nice, clean interior, have clean carpets, have a clean dash, have a clean seat, windows to look out of.
It feels so good to have a clean car.
Yeah. And one thing I counsel people against regularly, and a lot of people use these things, it's those little air fresheners that clip onto your vents. They have oil in them. That oil is getting everywhere in your vehicle because it's blowing through, it's vaporizing the oil, that's where you're getting the scent from. But that oil lands everywhere and it makes your windows difficult to clean. It makes your dash sticky and difficult to clean. It allows your seats to absorb dirt because now they have oil on them. So try another way of getting a fragrance into your car other than those little oil-filled vent things.
Okay, so scented candles, your recommendation?
Scented candles, no. Now, a couple old school tips and tricks. is take a, you know, regular lump charcoal, put it in a cotton bag, put it under the seat. That's going to not give you any scent, but it's going to absorb odors.
So what kind of charcoal?
What you put in your barbecue.
Which is one little square, one guy?
Three or four.
Three or four, and then a cotton, what did you say?
A cotton bag. So you just want a bag that's breathable, that the odors can travel through the bag.
Okay, and it absorbs odor.
It absorbs odor. You know, in your fridge as well. You can put a couple of those lumps in the back of your fridge. Does a much better job, actually, than the good old-fashioned baking soda that people put in their fridge for absorbing odors.
So that's one odor tip. You said a couple. Was the other an apple?
An apple is another one.
I've heard you say that one before.
Yeah, so cut an apple in half, make sure it doesn't stain the carpet, and just let it dry there. And it will also absorb, the nasty winter smells.
Okay, so au naturel.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing Jason Kilmer, world famous polisher and detailer, he was here recently, told us is we were talking about contact patch for sanding.
Yes.
And we also talked about contact patch, right? Like, I don't know the best way to describe what contact patch is.
Basically, your tires have a contact patch. So if your tires are inflated to the proper PSI, your wheel is round, your tire is round, except where it's touching the ground. And if you deflate the tire, that contact patch, or where it's touching the ground, will be bigger. And if you overinflate your tire, that contact patch is going to be smaller. So when you're wet sanding, you want to have, if your block, your sanding block is 2 inches by 4 inches, you want 2 inches by 4 inches touching the paint.
So whatever the thing is touching the other thing, you want it to be fully in contact.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully that made sense. If it doesn't,
Yeah, and for cleaning windows.
Right, that was the reference. Yeah. The contact patch was the window thing.
Yeah. Cleaning windows, it's very important. And a lot of people will take their microfiber towel and just ball it up and start cleaning the windows. No, not a good thing. Fold your towel in four. Keep it flat. And another tip for windows, close your eyes. No, not right now. But when you're cleaning your windows, close your eyes. If you can't see it, your eyes can't lie to you.
I thought that was another one of those, okay, Ivan, I've heard this one before. But when Jason was here, we did wet sanding, and I was doing okay, and then he told me to close my eyes and just feel the paper under the block against the paint. And even you were watching or listening and said it was a better sand.
Yeah, because you could hear the difference immediately. And with cleaning windows, it's the same thing. You want to, first of all, the least amount of liquid you could put on the window, the better. If you're using our crystal clear, I do not want you to spray liberally on the window. No. One or two sprays on your microfiber towel, you're good to go. Then close your eyes. Go over the window. Make sure you get in the corners, because people inspect the corners. Maybe put the window down a little bit, do the top, put it back up. Then with your dry towel or the other side of the towel, because you didn't get it too wet, dry the other side. Again, don't look at the window. When you look at the window, your eyes are telling you, dude, you're good. Your hand is telling you, oh, no, I still feel some, a little bit here, a little bit there. But your eyes are going, no, there's nothing there. So your brain goes, hey, the eyes, they know more than the hand. Take the eyes out of the equation, the hand, all of a sudden the brain is going, I have to listen to you, I guess.
That was a very scientific explanation.
Extremely scientific, but try it. You'll be surprised. If you have like a dog in the car or kids in the car that, the fingers in the window or the dog nose in the window, that is the best place to experiment with this. And once you do it, you'll be going around the house like, okay, the mirror is here. Yeah, it's just the best way of cleaning glass.
Would you ever use All Clean for a first pass on glass? If it's just really nasty smoker window, you're dealing with a lot for that first initial knockdown?
Yeah, 30 to 1 and very, very little. And the smoker glass is one case, or the dog nose in the window is another one.
Right.
Yeah.
And then after that, either crystal clear or rinseless.
Yeah,
depending
exactly
on what you have.
Right.
If you were washing the car with rinseless, it's right there. If not, if you just like a dedicated glass cleaner, both work for sure.
Exactly.
I like crystal clear. We don't talk about it much on this channel, but I love it for windows.
It's a great window cleaner, and it has a long wetting cycle. So it doesn't just evaporate away. It stays there. So it's able to emulsify the dirt, break it down, and then when you're going back with the dry towel, it's just easy to wipe off, does a great job. I clean my glasses with it daily.
So. You know how we always say less is more? I'm probably the guy who puts in too much rinseless in my wash bucket or when I mix it.
Yeah.
The glug-glug method. And that's the one thing you don't want to do with rinseless wash. We want to save you money. If you put too much rinseless wash in the solution, One downside is it can be a little streaky, just a little bit.
Right.
Nothing's gonna get ruined. You're not gonna like destroy your car, but too much rinseless will probably end up a little streaky.
Right.
That's why maybe I prefer crystal clear on glass.
Yeah. And time to go to the outside of
the car. Let's get out of the car. Let's go outside and do what we do best. No, we do it all. We do a lot of exterior videos, but this is a really important time. Let's talk about the undercarriage, because I don't think we ever talk about it or showcase it.
No.
I never really did much with it as a pro.
No.
But a lot of people ask, what do I do with my undercarriage?
Yeah, and by the way, we will be doing more interior videos, because now we have much better lighting. And that was one of the challenges we had in the previous shop, was the lighting to do interior videos. So those of you wanting interior videos, stay tuned. But yeah, cleaning the chassis. And it's as simple as getting under there with a hose. You don't need chemicals to break down the salt. Water does a great job of breaking down the salt. You just need a lot of it. So one of the ways of doing it is find a touchless car wash in your area. Just take your car through it. They have, usually, you have to pay a little extra fee, an undercarriage wash. Now, if you don't have that, you don't have it available to you, you can go on Amazon. They sell these cute little things that go in a pressure washer if you have a pressure washer. And that cute little thing is two wheels, a little aluminum block, some extensions that go in your pressure washer, and four nozzles underneath, and it just sprays water up.
Sounds like something you could build.
Actually, in my shop, that's what we had. I built one, but not to go with the pressure washer. So I wanted to flush a lot more. So what I did was, with copper piping, so if you're into plumbing and you have some half-inch copper pipe left around, I took a 2-foot section of copper pipe, put a T in the middle, so 2 1-foot sections, drilled 6 1/16 diameter holes, brought it out to an extension with a valve that I could plug my garden hose onto. And that under the car was spectacular at rinsing, because with those small holes, the garden hose pressure now became much higher pressure, but I had enough volume to get in there and rinse. And you would see stuff just falling off. And when we were doing car washing in the winter in our shop, we would actually use that to get salt and all the accumulated, you know, ice clumps and all that from the underside of the car out of there, because we tended to work on cars on lifts and we didn't want to have to lift it on a chunk of ice and then all of a sudden that ice melt and the car moves. And so we wanted to get that ice away from there.
I knew that would be a LaCroix special.
Yeah.
As soon as I mentioned it, and sure enough, of course you'd built it.
Yeah.
So that's such a simple way. I mean, people are going to say, can I use, you know, water spot remover? Should I use quick beads after? Or is just rinsing it with water enough on the undercarriage?
Rinsing with water is enough. And if you had a good rust treatment in the fall, you don't necessarily want to be going at it with chemicals, because that will remove that rust treatment.
Who gets a rust treatment, though?
Hopefully, everyone that lives in states and provinces that use ice on the road.
I've never done it, but then I have had car issues lately.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something to look into.
Right. It's not expensive. You can do it yourself. There's a lot of products out there, but you have to be able to get under the car. But it's just a nice, simple way of protecting your vehicle. It's not expensive.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've talked about the undercarriage.
Now
what?
Now, wheel wells.
So we're going low to top?
Yeah, let's go.
We go top to bottom.
Yeah, let's go.
We're spicing it up. We're celebrating spring.
Yeah. One of the things I do, I have winter wheels and summer wheels. And if you have winter wheels and summer wheels, clean those summer wheels before putting them on the car. Now they're off the car. You're doing a wheels off detail. They're off already. Now, personally, I clean them when I take them off in the fall, because in the spring, I want to get out there and drive as fast as possible. So my wheels are clean, but you're taking the winter wheels off. I clean them as I'm taking them off. So again, in the winter, when I'm forced to put them on, at least I know they're clean.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Or just winter tires. I guess you don't need to clean those until they go back on.
No, but for myself, I have, you know, we have winter wheels and summer wheels, because changing the tires back and forth on the wheels becomes cumbersome after some time. So it's just easy. And, you know, you can buy some inexpensive wheels if you want for your winter wheels, and away you go.
Okay. So we want to clean the barrels, do a deep dive on the wheels, get them nice and clean.
Yeah.
Put some quick beads on there.
Yeah. And while you're there,
easy to clean after that.
Clean out your wheel wells, get in there. Again, rinse the suspension away, because you'll have sand and salt sitting on there. So get a good rinse and do a visual inspection. You may not be a mechanic. You may not know what you're looking for, but if you see something that doesn't seem right, there's rubber pieces in there, there's bushings, there's boots on the ball joints, and the steering joints, you want to look at those. And if something seems off, then you can bring it to a mechanic. If those rubber joints all look solid and there's no cracks in them, then good. Don't worry about it. But if you see a crack and you see grease coming out of them, that could be an issue.
That could be an issue. Yeah. Something to look for sure.
Right.
It's one of those where once something is clean, then you can actually see what's going on.
Yeah.
You may not know what to look for, but something might seem off, and
yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's a time as a student of your vehicle that you would just have a natural curiosity about, hey, what do I do here? Is this a big deal? Look it up.
Right.
Ask somebody.
You have your wheels changed over by a shop, well, again, clean those summer wheels before you bring them to the shop.
The paint. We need to get this deep cleaned and decontaminated. So here's what I think, Ivan.
Yep.
We want to wash it. We want to use our perforated synthetic decontamination towel.
Definitely.
With iron remover.
Yep.
And we want to do water spot remover.
Yes.
What order?
So, first thing, foam on with incredible suds, or take your rinseless wash, put it on there. Let it dwell. Let it sit there. Let it eat away at that dirt. Then rinse it. Now, you can rinse it many different ways. You can use your pressure washer. You can use a garden hose. Or you can use a pump-up sprayer with rinseless wash in it, depending on what your situation is. Once you've rinsed it clean, it still has traffic film on it. So now we get out our contact wash, whether, again, incredible suds or rinseless wash. We do our contact wash. We have hundreds of videos here on doing a contact wash. So you can watch any one of those. You'll get the idea. From there, after we've done that contact wash, now we get out our PSD towel. Perforated synthetic decontamination towel, PSD.
It's the fine grade clay towel, and if you're curious, what is this? Where do I find it? Right here on your screen, near the tag products button, it'll show up. So it's gonna say fine grade clay towel. We have it there for SEO purposes because that's what people think of it as.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain why it's not a clay towel, Ivan?
Well, there's actually no clay in it, and actually clay bars have no clay in it. So it's a weird thing in this industry. There's the next product, the iron remover. Again, it doesn't remove iron at all. It's a rust converter would actually be a better term, but the industry was pre-existing to us, and the terms they use a little misleading. Not misleading, but I mean they don't describe actually what the product is doing.
The products are phenomenal.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe us, ask to join the DIY Detail Facebook group.
Exactly.
Ask about it there. Search in the search tab. The decon towel and iron remover are a fantastic and efficient way to remove embedded contaminants from your paint.
Right.
Stuff that's not going to come off during your regular wash.
Yeah, because a lot of people think, well, I wash my car, I don't need to decontaminate it. Contamination builds up over time, whether you wash it every day. Someone washing the car every day still gets contamination on it. And that comes from your brakes, that comes from the car's brakes beside you. So if you're driving an electric car and you use regen all the time, there's still, ice cars beside you throwing brake dust on your car. So you have to decontaminate your car. And that decontamination, it needs to be decontaminated. When you feel your paint and it feels scratchy or it feels rough, and it's not that nice, smooth feel that you should have. So the decontamination towel combined with the residual, either incredible suds or rinseless wash on the surface, they combine with the iron remover to give phenomenal lubrication. You're not going to mar your paint up. Before you start writing on the keyboard that you never decon without polishing, it can be done. Using our system, it's simple, it's easy, just no pressure on the towel, agitate it lightly, and use proper lubrication, which is the iron remover, and either the residual incredible suds or residual rinseless wash.
Okay. I'm all in. You've sold me.
Right. So now your surface is clean. You need to rinse it once again because the iron remover needs to be rinsed away. Once again, pressure washer, garden hose, or a sprayer of some sort with rinseless wash in it. From there, we need to dry the vehicle. But before we dry it, we have one more thing because it's springtime. What happens if you're in a northern climate? They put this stuff on the roads. Calcium, salt, brine, however you want to call it, calcium chloride. They put it on the roads.
Magnesium chloride?
Yeah,
there's a list of what, it's like,
yeah,
if there's salt on the ground, or if there's snow on the ground, your roads are going to be treated with salt or some combination of those things to keep them from being icy. And that stuff's going to get kicked up onto your vertical panels, right?
Right. And it just clogs the paint. We look at it, we don't see it, we don't feel it. We've done the iron remover with the clay towel, but it's still there. It gets into the minute pores of your clear coat and just sticks there. And it prevents beading. It prevents your paint from shining through. So we use our water spot remover. And no, they're not water spots, but they're calcium or mineral buildup. Well, mineral remover is a better term. But again, industry term, water spot remover. So we won't go there again.
It works great for water spot removal.
Oh,
we have a
definitely.
Video on that. We're going to put it in the description where we detail the steps that you want to actually go through to test if it's going to be enough or if you need to do that and then polish after. Yada, yada, yada.
You're right.
Back to the salt.
Right. So you put the water spot remover on it. Again, you have the residual rinseless wash on there or some water. And then with a microfiber towel dunked in your wash bucket, whether it be rinseless or incredible suds, don't change sides. You're just going to use one side of that towel, and then all you're doing is going over the surface and agitating. Remember chat when we were in the interior? Same thing. Chemical, heat, agitation, and time. We're going to be using chemical, agitation, and time, no heat. We're going over the surface, we're working in, no pressure, just moving it around, agitating a little bit. Then when you go to rinse, you will witness what some people call a miracle.
The water beading on your paint returns.
Right, and if you had a ceramic coated car, it's back. If you don't have a ceramic coated car, we have one little step for you. Then once that's done, again, you need to rinse because the water spot remover is slightly acidic. You don't want it sitting too long on there. You don't want it drying on the surface as well. And if it does, it's not a big deal, but if you let it sit for a week, it could cause issues. Then rinse it out and make sure you're doing a good rinse at this point. So getting in those rubbers and around the windows and around the door handle, just to make sure you've rinsed the residual iron remover and the residual water spot remover completely away. Then you have a couple choices. How do I protect my paint?
Yeah, I mean, this is honestly where I'd say if you made it this far,
yes,
you might actually want to try ceramic coating your paint.
Right.
If you've never done it before. It's not that, if you've done all this so far, you're already a trooper.
Right.
Like, you're in the detailing club. If you can do all that, you can pick up a polisher, do a light one-step polish, and apply a ceramic coating. If you want to do that, we're going to put a link in the description on how to do that.
Right. We have a very simple system that anyone can do.
Yeah.
But you already have a ceramic coating because you've been watching us for a couple years now, or you don't want to go there. Now, we have a couple options. We have quick beads. If you're using a hose or a pressure washer, quick beads is a fast, easy way of getting some gloss, some shine, and protection onto your paint.
Yeah, if it's wet and it's clean, quick beads is a great candidate.
Right.
All you're going to need to do is spray it on, let it dwell for about 30 seconds, work panel by panel.
Yeah.
Big sections of the car not advised in the sun. So that's what, maybe a couple panels at a time.
Right. And quick beads, phenomenal on wheels, wheel wells, all that whole area that it's harder to clean.
Yeah.
Quick beads is going to make them easier to clean. From there, you also have ceramic gloss as an option. Now, ceramic gloss, you can use it as a drying aid. You can use it, dry the car, and then use it as a wipe on, you know, spray and wipe application. You can use it with an applicator like you would a ceramic coating, but if you're there, you might as well put on a ceramic coating. You can even use it with a polisher and our red jeweling pad.
Lots of options to lay down some ceramic gloss protection on your
paint. Right, and to give you an idea, the gloss we have behind us is ceramic gloss laid on with a polisher.
Or you could apply our paste wax, which, depending on when you see this, hasn't been released yet, but TBD on the paste wax.
Yeah, the paste wax may or may not be around. Yeah. And it's not a paste wax, it's a cream wax.
I just called it a paste wax.
I know, yeah.
In my head, I know the product, it's not a paste, but people just say that. And
it's a wax.
It's a wax.
A good Carnauba wax, it's going to provide a bit of filling.
Feels like crazy.
Yeah, so it's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you're going to your first cars and coffee of the season, you want to make sure that paint is as good as it can be. The wax is a great tool for that. And if you have a ceramic coating, all of these things can go over a ceramic coating. Be it quick beads, be it ceramic gloss, be it our wax. And the wax, though, it's going to slow down your detailing process slightly. Ceramic gloss is super quick to apply. Quick beads, even faster. But our wax, you put it on and you let it sit there. You can even let it sit overnight. And I know you're saying, whoa, a wax overnight? No. I want to be able to get it off the next day. The longer you leave it sit, even in direct sunlight, the easier it's going to be to remove.
I know Ivan, and he loves a good lunch because I don't see you eat breakfast. So lunch is your first meal of the day.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good thing. You get up in the morning, you decontaminate the paint, you know, you've washed it thoroughly, you've done the interior, and then you're ready. You just put the wax on and have your lunch, come back, let it sit in the sun for a couple hours, whatever.
Yeah.
Leisurely come back and wipe it off when you're done.
Yeah, it comes off super easy. Now, All this that we've described seems like a lot of work. And it's something that, first of all, should be fun to do. So you can break it up into 2 days. You can do the interior on one day, the exterior on the other. But in reality, if you've got your tool set up, if you're organized, this is something that you can do in a morning or an afternoon. It's not that long of a process.
Folks, if you found value in this video,
yeah,
tell us the one thing that you learned in this video. Hopefully you found something different that Ivan or I said. You're like, I'm glad I came by to the DIY Detail Podcast. I'd like to come by again. We love to hear that. And then give us your questions, because we're always looking for your feedback, which helps us with ideas to make videos that can help folks out there learn.
Exactly. With that, thanks for joining us. Again, the questions, please. There's the comment section below. It's there for a reason. We actually monitor it on a daily or hourly basis almost, and we love answering your questions. We have our Facebook group, the link is below. Facebook group is almost 50,000 people strong at the time we're recording this. And it's just a great place to share information, share your successes. And if you have an issue, share it there as well, because there are people to help.
If you want to learn more about how to detail, I highly encourage you to watch this video right here.